Hi, Mandy. I
Hi.
found you.
Hi, Mildred.
I know.
Mildred just texted me that she was going to use the water closet and refill her tea.
Well, water closet is the most ladylike way of
It is the
saying,
most 95-year-old
okay.
way of saying the toilet.
Yeah. I even have little plaques that you can, I don't know where they are. They might have gone to the flea market, but
Of course you do.
that used to say WC on it.
Yeah,
You
of
put
course you
on
do.
your door of
I'm not at all surprised. Not even a little bit.
Lord.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, it's been a week, has it not?
Listen, it has. It has indeed.
This semester, I come straight off of an online class into our recording most weeks. And my professor got very verbose today and went over by 11 minutes. And we were all trying to figure out how to Irish exit without him noticing like five names going off the screen at once.
That would have been so funny.
So finally in the chat, somebody just said, "Aren't we supposed to be done at four?"
Well, that was ballsy.
It was not anyone in my little group that wanted to Irish exit, clearly.
Yeah, that's funny. That's funny.
So tell me about your week, Mandy.
My week was just fine. When last we spoke, did we record on Wednesday last week? I think we did.
Maybe.
I can't remember. So I was getting ready to go to Nashville. I did manage to sneak in a haircut, which
Love
has
it.
been its own saga the past 6 weeks. I have had to cancel four different hair appointments. And the nice little guy, my beloved hairdresser, is on maternity leave. She actually had her baby on leap day. She has a
I
leap
love that
baby.
for her.
Isn't
She
that so
can,
cool?
you can get her frogs every year.
Okay.
A lot of leap babies love frogs
Okay.
because of the leap thing.
Do you generally get your hairdresser's children presents
Well,
every
you
year?
said she was beloved.
She is beloved. I'm not buying
Okay.
a present anymore.
All right.
Think you should. That's very, you're kinder than I am.
That is not true. No,
It is.
you'll
But
see
anyway,
why in a minute, but that is not
so
true.
very pleased to get my haircut before I left to go to Nashville. Took my mom to get a CT Friday morning, which, is always an adventure.
Always.
My question is, after spending the morning with my mother, do we realize the moment that we completely give up on shoe fashion? Do we know that it has happened? Because apparently, genetics deem that I'm going to be a woman who wears an orthotic black Mary Jane at some point in my life. I will be the third generation to do so.
I think that you need to break the cycle, ma'am.
I just, and I'm looking at her shoes and I'm thinking, I know that my sister gave her a pair of On Cloud tennis shoes.
Yeah.
Are these particular shoes more comfortable than a pair of On Cloud tennis shoes? Like, why are we making this particular choice is what I want to know. And so, well, I just wondered, is it just inevitable? And do we realize the day when we go to put on the orthotic Mary Janes, do we recognize that we have given up?
I don't think it's when we put them on. I think it's when we look at them on Amazon and go, "Oh,
Purchase them.
I could really use a pair of those."
I could wear them.
Yes.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
have, I may have mentioned on here, I have what I like to call perching shoes and like regular, like I've preached about it, perching
Maybe.
shoes
Of
and
course you. Of
regular shoes.
course you do, Mildred. Tell
Yeah.
us.
So, perching shoes are those shoes you don't like have to walk around much in. Like I can wear perching shoes to the theater,
Those
right?
are
Because
what Oprah used to call her 1 hour shoes.
yes, exactly. Or perch on a stool shoes. So They're perching shoes, and then they're non-perching shoes. But even a non-perching shoe can be attractive.
Well, I will tell you that I am at the age where I don't even have perching shoes anymore.
I have a couple of pair. I have not worn them in a very long time.
Yeah, I think definitely post-COVID.
Yeah.
No more perching shoes.
That totally, COVID ruined a shoe game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, done. Yeah. Done with that.
I have a very sensible, it's leopard now, but it's very sensible. It has a square heel
mm-hmm.
and a sensible size heel. It is not mm-hmm. a spiked heel.
Now, I will say, when I used to go in the courtroom all the time, I did not feel fully prepared for battle without some heels on.
There we go.
And I have not been in a courtroom since COVID either, to fight with anybody. So
yeah, I'm going to say if you go to court, I'm going to need you to get those out of storage.
See, then my back's going to blow out. It's going to be a whole thing.
But aren't you sitting behind a table most of the time?
But you have to park. You have to get to the courtroom. Yeah. You have to get up and down a lot.
Yeah.
You have to stand up when you question witnesses.
I have found that I take elevators. Like, if there's an option for stairs.
You can still. Courtrooms are big. You have to, I mean, courthouses are big.
Yeah.
You have to, like, maneuver.
True. You could have a pair of bag shoes, like, on clouds in your bag, and then switch them out.
We are all good children of the 80s around here, and we all remember Working Girl.
Yes.
Can we talk about the Nancy Pelosi documentary? We don't have to talk about any sort of political aspect of it. The mere fact that the beginning of that documentary starts with about, I don't know, a minute worth of footage of Nancy Pelosi walking around those marble halls of the Capitol in heels.
I don't know. I don't.
For a gabillion years.
Yeah.
And she's still doing it. Like, are you kidding me? My back hurt just watching it.
I think a lot of women put good inserts in it, like get them bigger and then put extra cushy inserts in them.
Like, it's not going to help me.
Yep. Nope. Me neither.
I mean, I'm the person who put on my compression socks before my flight on Thursday.
I love you so much.
And texted my group thread about it because, listen, that's how old we are.
That makes me so happy.
We're entering our 50th year. We're going to wear compression socks on our flight.
Done.
And speaking of walking, it is spring break.
Yeah. Oh.
The time of year when I'm reminded that people really need to learn how to walk lighter. I don't understand.
Correct.
I'm very impressed with our building structure and integrity. Because when I tell y'all that the person upstairs right now, I've lived here 11 years. It is the loudest walker I have ever experienced. It's frightening. It's frightening. Generally, you cannot hear. Like, I'll be like, my God. And I'll, like, try to record it so people can understand what I'm dealing with. And generally, it doesn't work. You cannot hear them stomping on my head. Oh, you can hear this one. Stomping on my head. But the good news is this is like the only week I've been home. And so my spring break patience level is quite high. So I can tolerate it. But just
do you think it's their shoes to bring it full circle? Do you think it's their shoe choice?
No, it is not.
Okay. Have you seen these people?
No, but one thing I've learned in 11 years is no, it does, like shoes can make it worse, but it doesn't. Like if somebody is a stomper.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter. Because, listen, I hear them get up and go pee at 4 a.m. And I'm assuming they're not putting on their shoes to do that. But, I think a lot of folks that listen to us will have spring break next week.
Yep.
Because that's Atlanta spring break. So I would just encourage y'all before you embark on your spring break, if you're going to be staying in a, you know, community building, perchance you may take a moment to consider the heft of your walk.
The heft.
And adapt accordingly if there is someone below you.
The girth of your stride.
Also, it is possible to close a door without slamming it.
Is it?
This is a revelation to 90% of our population.
I love that.
And I think, you know what, Julie and I were having this conversation this weekend. Part of this comes from having a roommate in college.
You know what? I saw that note and I co-sign on that.
And I mean an actual person who sleeps in the same room with you, roommate. Not somebody you share a house with.
Nope.
Someone who is sleeping in the same room with you. That teaches you more about how to be a considerate person.
Yes.
Than anything else.
Yeah.
My mother is an only child who got married when she was 18. And my sister and I quite often will say she never had a roommate.
So true.
Clueless. Clueless. So all of that came up because the young nephew has decided he is going to Auburn. Y'all Look, can't see Katie.
This girl is so happy. I'm so excited. And I do know a couple of young lasses who will be at Auburn who are very attractive young girls.
Well, good. You know, his current plan is to continue dating the girlfriend.
Okay. All right. Let's see how that goes. Okay.
Never hurts to
all right.
meet lots of people.
Yes.
But yeah, so we were talking about for those of you who do not have a child in the current college housing
mm-hmm. pool,
Auburn, most Ooh. Southern colleges are having shortages because so many people are coming south to go to college. And Auburn especially was having a housing shortage. And then one of their dorms flooded last year.
I was about to say, then they had the flood.
Everybody showed up. So the dorm that Will is currently slated to be in, first of all, as a person who lived in an unair-conditioned dorm room, Macon, Georgia.
Same. Birmingham, Alabama. Same.
I'm just here to tell you, that's not a dorm room.
No.
But what they're calling a dorm room, it's a suite.
Yeah.
And it has a kitchenette and a den area. And then it used to just be two people per suite, what we would call a suite, what they call a dorm room. And they each had a queen bed. Do you hear me? They had their own bedroom and bathroom.
Little snowflakes.
I am sorry, that is not a dorm room.
No.
So the good news is they at least now are putting two people per bedroom, bathroom. So he will have to share a bedroom and a bathroom with his buddy Cooper. And then they have
transformative
like this area.
Yeah.
So we'll say I'm relieved about that because
yeah.
I just think that's very important.
So weird fact about Auburn, they got a huge donation decades and decades and decades ago from the Cater family. There's Cater Hall and Cater this and Cater that. Huge donation. But the stipulation was they were not allowed to have sorority houses because Mr. Cater did not want his daughter living in a sorority house. And if at any point they ever put people in sorority houses, they would have to give the money back to the family.
I wondered why there weren't any sorority houses. Now I know.
And so now there's a huge number of dorms at Auburn because of that. So the sororities are kind of allowed to make the dorms their houses. Like they to kind of get around that. Cause it was probably in like, I'm telling you, like the 40s or 50s. I mean, it happened a long time ago. So, but because of the stipulations, there's literally nothing they can do about it unless they're going to pay all that money back. So, there's an exorbitant amount of dorms for girls, but I'm sure not for guys. And I think the one that flooded was a freshman one, right? Last year?
I don't remember. I think so, but I don't know.
I think so. So, yeah. So, I'm glad he has to. Some of my best days, even in the sorority house, were with a roommate. Because you learn to be considerate of others and, like, all kinds of things. So,
yeah.
I'm glad that he'll get to have that experience. Okay. And I'm a little jealous he's got air. Because, again, I didn't either. They air conditioned it the summer I moved out. And I was so mad.
Listen.
Whatever.
I don't even know. I don't
know,
even
right? know. I know.
Yeah, so that's sort of the excitement there. Tomorrow is opening day in baseball. The Braves are scheduled to open with the Phillies, but in true Philly fashion, they're already screwing things up, and it's going to be raining in Philadelphia tomorrow, and so opening day has been postponed.
Nice. Nice.
And I will just say that my good friend Casey's son, Liam, her younger son, Liam, who is a giant Braves fan, did a fabulous drawing a couple weeks back about the Braves and the Phillies. And we can't remember exactly what he referred to the Phillies as. It was like the villains or the evil guys or whatever. But what he did call them, and which is how I will exclusively refer to the Phillies from here on out, is the Crazy Hairs. The Phillies are now the Crazy Hairs.
Done.
Change their name. And those Crazy Hairs mess up opening
day. Messed it all up. Lord of mercy.
You can hear that car backfiring out there, but it's spring break.
Amen.
But anyway, so that is one of the big things in the baseball world. The other big thing is the Shohei Ohtani situation. For those of you who have not heard, which I don't know how you haven't heard, because it hasn't just been a baseball story.
It has not.
A gigantic story. Shohei Ohtani, who is a great player from Japan, has been here. He's been here for 7 years. He's played in MLB for several years. And the whole time has had an interpreter, Ipe. And they are like, Ipe was his interpreter before, like.
They grew up together is what the news is.
They were like.
Yeah, they've been best friends.
Very good friends, very, even before they came over here.
And apparently Ohtani speaks English. He just has the interpreter just for.
I think he can, like, he doesn't speak fluent English.
Okay.
But he wouldn't feel comfortable giving a press conference.
Okay.
He can communicate somewhat with his teammates and things.
Okay.
And he probably understands it better than he can speak it.
Probably.
But, so the way the interpreter, like, he's with them all the time. Mm-hmm. When the strike happened a couple of years ago, the Angels fired Ipe because he is employed by whatever team Shohei is playing for. But in order for them to be able to communicate during the strike, the Angels had to fire Ipe so that they could still have contact, because the players weren't allowed to have contact with anybody employed by the club.
Interesting.
And so it's not just like a work relationship between these two. They, you know, Shohei is reliant on him, you know, for all sort of English communication. So it came out last week. There was a federal investigation launched against a bookie. And in that investigation, it was discovered that $4.5 million had been paid to this bookie by Shohei. And turns out, who knows, like, it's still under investigation. MLB is now investigating Shohei. But Shohei's story, the first story, Ipe, because Ipe came out first and gave an interview to ESPN. And his story at that point was, I have a gambling problem. I went to Shohei. He loaned me the money to pay off my debts.
Right.
Well, then, as soon as that story, you know, ESPN calls Shohei's people and says, this is the story. And they're like, mm-mm, don't be running with that. And their story, Shohei's story, is Ipe stole that money from him. He had no idea it was happening until they were over in Korea, playing in Korea. And after the game, they're having a clubhouse meeting where Dave Roberts, the breakdancer, is telling everybody that Ipe is getting fired, and that's the first time Shohei's hearing about it. And Shohei doesn't know what's going on, because Shohei doesn't speak English and his interpreter ain't interpreting for him, because he done stole $4.5 million.
Right.
So anyway, that's the story. And so the big thing is, if it, you know, is Ipe taking the fall for Shohei, who was actually right. making the bets. If Shohei bet on baseball, he would be banned for life, like Pete Rose. He would never be able to play again.
Which is where my part of this comes in that I've seen all week is this video of Pete Rose saying, if only I'd had an interpreter in the 70s and 80s. And it just cracks me up because I'm like, dude, no, Pete.
Pete.
Come on, Pete.
Such a boomer.
You're not, that's not, your issue was different.
Yeah,
I thought they had proven, and maybe I'm wrong about this, I thought they had said that he was not betting on baseball, that they knew that it was not baseball, but they haven't even figured that out yet. Okay.
Mm-hmm. No.
All right.
At first everybody was like, oh my God, Shohei Ohtani's going to be banned from baseball forever. And then, because how can somebody steal $4.5 million without you knowing
it?
Well, when you make $1 billion.
Right. And when it's your best friend that you've known since you were little and you share everything. I mean,
I've worked enough with people who, with guardianships and conservatorships over the years, people who don't have full capacity, which is a little bit equivalent if you don't speak the language.
Sure.
It can be very easy to take advantage of somebody. I've seen it happen lots and lots of times. And these are people that are not dumb, but, there's something that makes them not function as high as you and I.
Yeah.
I pay all my mother's bills.
Yeah.
She doesn't, she didn't have the first clue what's going on. I could easily take all of her money.
Right.
And she would have no idea.
Yeah.
So if you're in a position of trust with somebody, I can see how that happens. I sure hope it's not true that Shohei was betting, because he seems like a good guy. I kind of hate all this for him because he has always been very buttoned up. He didn't talk to the press. Everything he does is very structured and very careful. And so I'm sure this is like really hard on him, who by all accounts is a nice guy.
Yeah.
So I hate that. If it is true, then I hate that too. So anyway, that's been the big baseball story.
It has been very big. Very big baseball. I agree. I mean, he's so cute. And he just signed that great deal for him. But, if he's out now, he hadn't even gotten, I don't think he got much of it to start with.
Oh, no. He gets paid like $1 million this year.
Yeah, it's all in on the back end. So there's not really even a signing bonus that he could help use to pay some attorney fees.
Listen, he made so much money in endorsement deals.
Yeah, he'll be fine. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
I do feel really bad for him. Just to be let down by the people that you trust, if that's what happened, is terrible, and nobody should have to do that. So
yeah.
I feel bad for the kid. So we'll see. We'll do some investigative journalisming and find out what we can.
What's been going on with you this week?
Oh, Lord, it has been a week, Mandy. Let me tell you. It has been a week. So we have talked about on here, I'm a terrible sleeper, right? Like a terrible sleeper. And the other night, it was very, very windy. It had rained and then it had quit raining, but the wind was just, and it was cold. It was just, it's a terrible night. And right outside my window, my bedroom window, there's this like bright as the sun security light, and there's no switch to it because, I live in a parsonage. It's just on or off. Like, you either have the thing there or whatever. There's no place to turn it on and off. So I use it like for a security thing to get in and out of the house. That corner of the house is really dark. Or like if somebody walks up at night, it'll come on and be really bright, which never happens. But that night, like it would go off and then it would come right back on. It was like the sun was turning on for hours. And finally at 2:30 in the morning, There is Ring camera footage of this, by the way, and it will not be going anywhere. 2:30 in the morning, I'm like, what in the world? I cannot, I've got to get some sleep. So I go in my bathrobe with the wind whipping up everywhere. I go get the cemetery clippers out of the back of my trunk because I finally figured out the bush at the corner has been whipping in front of the sensor for the light and cutting it on and off. So I'm in my robe at 2:30 in the morning. Head. Trimming a hedge that, by the way, had thorns that I did not realize. So my hands were cut up. I was cussing like loudly at 2:30 in the morning, trimming this bush. And I thought, what? I mean, between the bed falling apart on me the week before and now this bush, like, what am I doing with my life? What is wrong with me?
How did we get here?
Why am I here in my bathrobe? You should see work? Like the ring. But it's when I'm coming back in the house. My face is priceless.
I thought you were going to say you used the clippers to like clip the light down.
Clip the light out. Well, when I realized what was happening, I was like, oh, I can just trim a couple branches and be done with it. So I did. But like, bleary eyed. I didn't even put my glasses on.
I'm reminded of two stories. The first is there was a mayor in Noonan named Gandy Glover, and he once shot out his neighbor's burglar alarm because it was going out. But then the not even putting on the glasses reminds me there's a coffee shop right downstairs from me, and they have outdoor tables. And several years ago, there were some folks hanging out at the coffee shop outdoor tables at like midnight.
Oh, come on.
And it woke me up. And so I, in the summertime, typically just sleep in a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. There so we go.
I had a real long Mercer Law t-shirt on.
Love it.
So they woke me up. And I was so pissed off I was going down there to tell them about it. So I just picked up the first thing that was on my floor, which happened to be like a gold lamé-ish skirt. So I pulled that skirt on. And I probably had some flip-flops by the door. I don't remember what shoes I had. Full bed head, no glasses on, stomped down the stairs, flung open the stairway door, which I'm sure they didn't even know existed.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, here comes this woman in her gold lamé skirt and her t-shirt and her bed head squinting at him because she can't see. Could you please keep it down? I am trying to sleep right there. The looks on their faces, they look like they had just seen someone in that get up. I feel you.
It was quite the night. So I made sure the people that I text the most had a disclaimer the next day that whatever I said was, you just got to ignore it. Just ignore it. If it's rude, just ignore it.
So sorry.
So then Monday, I had class, so I'd go into Atlanta. And I was coming home, and traffic this week has just been terrible. Like, I got out of class early yesterday, but got home later than I normally do because people are dumb and can't drive in the rain.
Yeah.
And so, but Monday I was coming back, and I was on 985. And I saw something rattling around on the in the road, and then all of a sudden, this pitchfork gets spun up from out from under a car in front of me, and I thought I deflected it back into traffic. I couldn't avoid it. I was gonna try, obviously, but it was like coming at me. It was
right.
Really quick, and I thought, well, they're throwing pitchforks at me, like the witch has arrived. And so I got home. I was so tired. I didn't even think to look. So I came in the house, ate dinner, whatever. Got up the next day to go to class. I walked outside, and there's flipping pitchfork sticking out of my front bumper.
She's not exaggerating, y'all.
No.
She sent me a picture of it.
I sent Mandy a picture. I was like, next up, burning at the stake.
I asked if she ran over a scarecrow.
No, I'm just a witch. My nephew agreed. He thought it was hilarious. He's like, oh my gosh, Katie, you are a witch. Isn't that funny? I was like, yeah, it's funny. Yeah.
Well, the good news is they'll all be down here next week, so you won't have to deal with them.
There we go. So that's what my week has been like. Pitchforks and 2 a.m.
Military clippers.
Clippers. I mean, thank goodness they were in my trunk.
No, ma'am.
I popped the trunk at 2:30 in my bathrobe and got them out. Felt around because I couldn't see anything. Felt around in the dark for my clippers.
All the single ladies.
Yep. Story of my life. The other thing that has been such a letdown this week, and I'm just so sad, is that Auburn has just killed my spirit. I mean, I'm used to it. I mean, who are we kidding, right? Auburn has killed my spirit. So
I may have said to the nephew, it's not too late. You can go to Baylor.
Well.
Because they won their game.
Yeah. Yes. Last week we joked when we knew that Auburn was playing Yale that I said that word, that school name, with about 18 syllables. And they played Yale, and when I tell you that word got longer and longer, the worse we played, and the cuss words that were said around the word Yale,
ought to be an award for it.
I mean, they're a bunch of future tax attorneys. I was texting you like the name of the law firm.
Yeah. My friend Casey was like, I bet Katie is fit to be tied. And I may have screenshot and sent
good. Them. I was. It was the tax attorneys. We lost to the tax attorneys.
Listen.
So mad. Part of the problem was one of our guys got a flagrant technical foul, which was it a technical? Yes. Was it flagrant? You know. I don't know, but one of our best players. So he was out the rest of the game. So, I mean, and even Bruce at the end, Bruce Pearl, our coach, who I love, said that it was too much. And so it was in retaliation for something. I didn't watch the very, very beginning of the game when it happened. But anyway, so Auburn is no longer in the NCAA tournament. So that heart was broken. And then for 2 weekends in a row, we have gotten swept. We didn't just lose one game of a series. We have gotten swept and run rolled. Now, we did play Vandy, who is my second favorite baseball team, y'all are good. So, okay. Well,
we got swept by South Carolina.
Well, the second team was Arkansas, and they're ranked number one in the country.
Right. So.
And it wasn't as bad. Like, they didn't run rules like y'all did. But we did get swept. So that's 2 weekends in a row we've gotten swept. And we lost the tournament. Like, I was just, they were breaking my heart.
Yeah, the sports weren't sporting.
No, they were not. They were not. The only thing that was redeeming this week, and I know I've told y'all about it before, I think I did it in the Christmas gift list, but my favorite day of the year has occurred. My 2024-2025 academic calendar has arrived. And it's beautiful. It's from Day Designer.
Why do you get it this time of year?
Because it's the academic calendar. So it runs out in like July. So this time, it comes out, I get it. Because I get so excited. And I want the full range of choices for covers.
Okay.
I did go with the smaller one this time because I want to carry it with me instead of just having it on the kitchen counter, and it's a lot smaller thickness and, dimension wise. So it'll fit in my lovely little book bag, like I'm a almost 50-year-old one with a book bag. Yes, indeed. It'll fit in there better, but it's light blue linen cover. It's gorgeous. I cannot wait to put all the things in it. The first thing that gets to go in it is the Olympics, and I'm super pumped about that.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So I'm going to spend some time with my day designer, but that's the best day of the year is Day Designer Day. calendar
Very
day.
happy for you.
Yep. So that redeemed the week, but that was about it. Well, that was all I'm going to talk about on the podcast.
There
I'll tell you
go.
something else when we're off.
There you go.
So yeah. Mandy, I'm so excited about your food because we've talked last week, we talked about what your week was like, and you have given us some of the secrets from the weekend. So tell us all about it.
Yeah, so the first recipe I have shared is one of those obnoxious recipes. It's my dad's pinto cheese. And the real secret to it is to use hoop cheddar cheese.
Hoop cheddar, baby.
Hoop is it's the cheddar that has a red rind around it. It's not Gouda with a red rind, but it's cheddar with a red rind. And you can typically find it like in the deli case. And I don't know any measurements for this recipe.
There are none.
I've just watched my dad make it for 50 years. But yeah, so you get the hoop cheddar, you grind it. He would tell you that you need to grind it, shred
grate it.
He would tell you that you should use a rotary cheese shredder.
Okay.
He would also tell you that would need to happen on this yellow plate, which is what my grandfather made it on, and which he now makes it on.
Okay.
I'm here to tell you, you can pop it in the food processor.
Okay.
And it works just fine. You can use a box grater if you would like. Just watch your knuckles.
There was a little bit of Katie in every batch of cheese muffins I made for Gogi.
Yeah. So, but anyway, you just get a hunk of hoop. I estimated it's about a pound. I really don't know, y'all. Just
get a hunk of hoop.
Shred it up. And then you put some mayonnaise in it. My dad uses Hellman's. I use Duke's.
I'm a Duke's girl. Okay.
This last go around. And I honestly, my palate is not such that I can taste any difference whatsoever.
Okay.
But I grew up very averse to mayonnaise, and this is light on the mayonnaise.
Okay.
You do not want a big old gloopy, gloppy, mayonnaise-y, cheesy situation. That's disgusting.
I agree. I agree about my pimento cheese.
So it's not, start with less than you think you need, and then you can always add some more.
Yep.
And then just some diced pimentos.
Do you use the juice?
No, I typically drain the juice off.
Okay.
And depending on how big your hunk of hoop is, it will dictate what size diced pimentos you shall use.
I'm sorry, but you saying hunk of hoop is like me saying water closet, Mildred. Oh, I love it.
Just go with what you feel.
Measure with your heart is the way I like to do that, or as you feel led.
Where you feel led.
I love that.
Yeah. Now, that's all my dad puts in his pimento cheese, and people love it.
Yeah.
You can zhuzh it up if you would like with, some garlic salt or
Or a mustard, yellow mustard. Sometimes I'll do not much.
Or like some red pepper. If you want to make it a little spicier.
Oh yeah.
Now, let me tell you what my friend Dixie, I started to share Miss Frances's chicken salad recipe, but I just couldn't even type it up enough. I'll share a picture of the recipe card.
Yeah.
So that y'all can have Grandma Hazel / Miss Frances's chicken salad. So when we were talking about when Miss Frances brought me the handwritten chicken salad recipe tucked inside a Ziploc bag to keep it safe.
Right.
Because that's Miss Frances.
Yeah.
She was telling me that they have started making pimento cheese. You combine a thing of regular palmetto cheese with a thing of spicy palmetto cheese,
oh,
along with, and I can't remember how much, a hunk of Monterey Jack that you get from the Publix deli. Combine all three of those together, and they were telling me it is just killer.
So I love palmetto cheese.
I do.
I mean, that's, you know, instead of making it, that's usually what I do is just buy that. But that is revolutionary.
Right? Doesn't
that might be my summer go-to keep in the fridge. So that was regular and spicy, and then a hunk of
Monterey Jack.
Monterey Jack that you get
from like, the deli in Publix.
Like at the deli counter that they...
Yep.
That's okay. What
they said. It has to be there. Go to the deli and ask for a hunk of Monterey. They might ask you to give them a measurement.
Yeah, they will.
I will ask Dixie if it is equal parts Monterey and Palmetto.
If we could get some kind of parameter for that, I would appreciate it.
I'll text Dixie right now and see.
There we go. There we go. There we go.
May not be a busy mom, but she might.
Because that sounds divine to me.
You were saying that the Monterey Jack, the texture of that, what really they really like.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Loving that. Loving that. Well, and so one, while you're typing Dixie, one that I thought was coming on here that's not, that are you going to save the rice for later?
Oh.
For another week? We had talked about it, but.
I forgot. I can add that in there.
Okay. Because I think I may make that for Easter.
It's easy as pie, too.
Oh, it's so easy and so good.
All it is a cup of rice, and don't get the fancy rice. Just get like the plain old long grain rice.
Yep.
A cup of rice, 2 cans of beef consomme, a stick of butter, and that can be it. You can also add mushrooms, and you don't want fancy mushrooms, just get a can of little mushrooms.
Yeah.
And put them on top.
I'll put some variations in there when we're...
Some people add Worcestershire. Some people add a can of French onion soup. But the way my mama made it is, so you preheat your oven to 350. In a 9x13, you melt your stick of butter in the preheating oven. And then you pour the rice in and then add the 2 cans of soup and the mushrooms, cover it with foil, and bake it for about 45 minutes to an hour.
Yep.
Easy peasy. I can type that up later. You don't have to type it.
Okay.
So we'll add that one too. And that's just, when I said my mother served that almost every Sunday, along with a roast, that she would buy one of those Reynolds baking bags. You put your roast in the bag with a can of beef broth, a can of cream of mushroom soup, and she used to use a Lipton's dry onion soup mix too, but my dad didn't like that, so she quit using it. But throw that in there if you want. Close up the bag, like swish the roast all around in it, bake it. She never baked it for long enough. It wasn't ever tender enough because we would get home from church and eat it and it wasn't quite done, but we had to because my dad had to make a tea time. Right. So, but yeah, bake it for a long time until it is just fall apart tender. And then you've got your gravy already made in
for
your bag.
Potato. Yeah. So and I do that in that basically that same thing in the crock pot.
Yeah. Yep.
And it comes out really well.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's basically
what we had every Sunday. Then the other recipe I did share, so I got this from Casey, and I'll also post a picture of this recipe that Miss Gladys McKinnon shared of Shrimp Sea Island. It's handwritten in cursive.
This
let me
looks delicious.
So Casey made this. It's 5 pounds of shrimp, and then it says 10 mild white onions. Casey and I decided this recipe was probably written in like 1943.
Yeah, when onions were as
before
big as your
the
fist.
everything that we ate was genetically modified. And so I think Casey used two big onions when she did this. Maybe three. It might have been three. But she also might have doubled it. I can't remember how much shrimp we had. So Casey just boiled the shrimp. We peeled it and deveined it. And then she bought two Tupperware long, but you want a not a deep dish, you want a shallow dish. So she just bought two big Tupperware things, and you mix the shrimp and the onions, and then the dressing is olive oil, good cider vinegar. Don't ask me what that is. A large bottle of capers, and then I think Casey used about a tablespoon of sugar, and then salt, and I'd say probably a tablespoon of Worcestershire. And then you just pour the dressing over the shrimp and the onions and let it sit. And I would just
No
take it
good.
and stir it around a little bit. And then Casey put it in a big bowl. This has to put it on a platter, but Casey had like a shrimp shaped bowl. And
Love
so
it.
lined it with lettuce leaves, and then you pour everything, the onions, the capers, the whole nine. You just pour it all out and serve it with little toothpicks. And
I
so people
love that
get to
it's
walk up and get a toothpick and pull a shrimp out.
cover and place an ice box. That makes my heart so happy.
Right?
So we have a similar recipe. The lady that did so much catering and make until she got the Alzheimer's real bad is named Bertha.
Bertha.
And Bertha's worked for my family forever. And I used to spend every party, she felt bad for me. I used to spend every party in the kitchen with her. And she would make me to-go plates, whether it was at Gogi's house or at somebody else's house, didn't matter. If she was catering, I would go to the kitchen and I would walk out the front door of these very fine Macon homes with a to-go plate because she loved me that much. But she did this. It was very similar to this. The shrimp is so good. I think she had lemon in hers as well, though. We've got the recipes in the Griffiths Family Cookbook. I'd be interested to see how it compares, but I really think hers had lemon.
Miss Hutto, Barbara Hutto.
La Barbara Hutto.
Barbara Hutto used to make pickled shrimp every year for us for preps.
Are we sure she made it or did she get it from Bertha?
She actually
Okay,
made
there we go.
it.
All right.
Well, I don't know. That's fair, but she made it. She
Go
claims she
used to
made
pass Bertha's food off for her own all the time.
it. So, there you go.
Just like she did with the S&S green beans.
So, that's what I was going to say. I bet it's that same. Okay. Breaking news from Dixie. I was wrong. It's not Monterey Jack. She said there's a container in the deli section. She thinks it's 8 ounces, and it's called Pepper Jack Cheese Spread.
All right. So Katie, when is going to add to her grocery list?
Pepper Jack Cheese Spread.
Not Pepper Hack.
No,
Pepper
Pepper Jack.
Jack
Yeah. So.
cheese spread.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's your food. And
I bet.
I'll type up the pimento cheese and the brown rice.
I cannot type today, like at all. Okay. Everything that I need now is added to my grocery list. And
Congratulations.
Dixie, we will follow back up on that and I'll tell you how delicious it is. So, my favorites, I've already told Mandy about one. Are you watching?
Yes.
The new one comes out today, I believe.
I think I've watched three or four episodes.
Yeah, they're not many out yet. So, there's a new show on Apple TV called Palm Royale. And it is the kitschiest, funniest show. So the last movie that Kristen Wiig did was horrible. Did you see it where it was like the two friends go to the beach? Did you see that movie? It was terrible. Don't watch it. Don't watch. It's got Jamie Dornan in it, who is precious, but it takes this really weird turn. Yeah. And it's just bad. So when I saw that she was doing this other kitschy show, I was like, oh, Kristen, are you trying again? But it is so good, y'all. It is about Palm Beach. It is beautifully set. The sets are gorgeous.
Yes, they are.
The clothes are fantastic. The cast is phenomenal. Carol Burnett, Kristen Wiig, Allison Janney. I mean, I could go on and on and on. The show is, and it's the perfect blend of kitschy.
Yeah.
And serious. Ricky Martin.
Right. Like, walking around shirtless most of the time.
Which is great. It's just so funny. I highly recommend. I know I say that every... That's one of our catchphrases, I think. But it is really good. And Carol Burnett is heavily featured, I think, in this next episode.
Okay.
I'm not going to say anything else.
So when it starts, Carol Burnett is... when you see that it's Carol Burnett playing this part, you think, okay, well, something's going to change eventually because they wouldn't hire Carol Burnett for this role.
Yes, correct. So I'm very, very excited. Palm Royale. I mean, it's just so funny. I loved it. I hope you did too.
Yeah.
So the other thing that I put on here is Hill House. I don't know if we've talked about this before. I think maybe a little bit, but I'm not doing a total new ensemble for Easter, but I got a really, you're going to call me Mildred again. I got a new cardigan. It's a light pink cardigan with cherry blossoms on it.
Oh, perfect.
It's very pretty.
Considering that cardigans were a staple of our wardrobe when we were 20, we were all Mildred in 1987.
Also, the bathrobe that I wore outside the other night to cut the bush is also a Hill House bathrobe. Very comfortable clothes. They have a thing called a nap dress, but it's just like a smock top.
This was like all the rage like 2 summers ago.
Yeah,
like
I mean, they're just four. Comfortable. They're not, you know, super affordable. That's why I look for sales.
Yeah.
But it's an investment, but they're comfortable, pretty, still feminine. They're not going to make you feel like you're wearing orthopedic shoes.
Yeah.
So I really like Hill House.
Got
the
it.
Other thing that I really have liked lately, and y'all will remember, I did get this advent calendar, was the Beekman 1802 skincare. Mm-hmm. And I found a couple of products that I really, really liked in there. And I've been using them regularly, which is not my normal thing. But I do. I have really found that I have liked the skincare. My skin is just healthier. Now, do I have less wrinkles? Maybe a few less. But it's just healthier. And I went to class the other day with just mascara on. And then I went out in the world. And I did not even hesitate.
Can you hear that?
No, I can't. So,
good, because somebody's drag racing out here. But
nice.
You went to class without makeup on.
Which, I mean, that in itself is not abnormal. Say, it's early in the morning.
Were revelatory.
Right. But I went after that. I was comfortable enough to go out in the world where it didn't even dawn on me that I wasn't wearing makeup.
Well, good.
So I have linked their skincare line on there. I like their toner.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of the... I'll use the eye stuff. Anyway, so... I just not only like their product, but I really liked, because I've never been confident with anything physically with myself, which we've talked about.
Yeah.
So the fact that that happened was pretty, that was okay. Major.
Yeah. I should add in here,
okay.
if you're talking about skincare, that, you know, I recommended a couple weeks ago that I don't know how to pronounce it. Aven
Yes.
line.
Yeah.
Well, when I got in the car at the grocery store Friday afternoon, I looked in the mirror and I had hives all over my face.
You did. You
did.
did.
How you doing? And so I noticed, I can't remember. Anyway, at some point along the way, I had been in a Walgreens and I had noticed that they sell the Aven line in Walgreens. And so when, so one of the things I was purchasing at the grocery store was some beer.
Huh.
And when I drank a beer, my face then went in fuego. So anyway,
speaking of, I need to add that to my grocery list.
I stopped
one left
the next day at Walgreens and got some Aven, and okay, I don't know how to say it. It is the Cicalfate, Cicalfate, which I have heard many, many people rave about online if they've had like eczema or
okay.
psoriasis or anything like that on their face. I knew it wasn't going to help the hives, but just the rest of my face was just itchy and irritated.
Yeah.
So, and I will co-sign. That stuff is good.
Well, add that
You
to
can
the
get it at
list under
Walgreens.
skincare. I love that. Put it on there. We'll add it so they'll know the name of it. Because I don't know how to spell that.
Okay.
Terrible speller. The last thing that I had was something fun. I have not suggested this before. If you go on Instagram and follow National Park Service, all one word, not only do they have some of the most beautiful photography of our national parks, whoever runs their Instagram account is hilarious. So, for instance, today's post is, one does not simply become a master of karate. First, you must accidentally walk into a spider web. And then the note says, web on, web off. So, anyway, it's just, it's fun. It's gore. It's beautiful. Kudos to whoever runs that account. I think they do a great job. Especially because Georgia, you know, for all us Georgia gals, is getting its first national park at the Umogi National Monument now. We're a monument. We're a national monument. When I grew up, it was the Indian Mounds.
Yeah.
Now it's a Umogi National Monument. It's about to be a Umogi National Park. So, yeah, it's great. It's a beautiful sight. I highly recommend. And they're funny.
They are funny. I agree.
So, just a fun follow.
Good, good.
Yeah. So, ma'am, what's your week like besides Easter? Are you singing this Sunday? No? All right.
No, I have not been in town to
Oh,
learn
that's right.
Easter
There we
music.
go.
So,
There
I have
we
not
go.
been. I will go to the service tomorrow night. We're recording this on
Oh,
Wednesday.
yeah.
I'll go to Monty Thursday. And then I leave for Chicago.
Oh, that's right.
Next Tuesday morning. So I guess I'll probably go to Noonan on Monday. And then we fly out Tuesday morning. And we'll be in Chicago Tuesday through Saturday.
I love that. I love Chicago. Love, love, love. Can't wait to hear all about that. That'll be fun.
Very excited.
We have services Friday because I have class Thursday. And of course, my favorite grumpy member, Jean, came up to me and reminded me that Maundy Thursday was her favorite service. And she was very upset with me for doing a Good Friday. I said, well, just take everything you love about Maundy Thursday and just move it a day.
You can do it, Jean.
You can do it, Jean. So if... I said it last week, but they're all there, or they're going to be there this week. If you would like a little devotion for your week, then on my podcast, Grits in the Gospel, there's a little bit of a reading or a devotion for the rest of this week. And I just did my Easter sermon So that's gonna be
just on. Know, y'all, if you go to listen to Katie's other podcast, her voice sounds very different over there.
Yeah, I definitely have a preacher voice.
Yeah.
I do.
It makes me giggle.
It's funny when I'm like delivering it in person, and if there's a punchline, I'll switch back over. But on the podcast, when I'm trying to just record it, I just go straight preacher, Katie.
It makes me laugh.
I know, right? So funny. And thank you for listening, by the way. There are only like 2.2 of you that listen, but that's okay. That's not why I'm doing it. I'm looking at the baseball rankings for us. So y'all are at number 7. Vandy is at number 7. 19-6. Good job. We're happy to help with that. Yes. And as I scroll down, it's not till you get to the bottom where it says dropped out that I find the name of the Auburn of the Tigers.
I'm sorry.
So we are no longer in the top 25, which is absolutely not surprising in any way, shape, or form. Who do y'all play this week?
Missouri.
I see that. We play Texas A&M, ranked number 4 this weekend.
Y'all are really in the gauntlet.
We are. From y'all
in the gauntlet.
To number 1 out of number 4. So I'm not thrilled to see that name on here.
Are y'all playing in College Station or Auburn?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
in
yeah.
College Station.
Yeah, in College Station. That's thrilling. Just thrilling. I may be watching golf. I don't know where they're playing, but it'll be better than that.
Oh, man.
So we're at the Sweet 16, right? We're at the Sweet 16.
Listen, baseball. Baseball starts.
I know, right? Today. Well, except we're delayed just a day, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So there's plenty to watch and do. I'm so
crazy
excited.
The crazy hairs. Yeah, so all the baseball podcasts I've been listening to are like wrapping up all the preseason stuff with all their predictions. Everybody just quit predicting that we're going to be this good. Just stop.
Stop it. Don't jinx us. I will say, if you have not listened to Pablo Torre Finds Out and you're thinking about it, don't listen to the episode about gaming. They were playing PS4 on a podcast. And I was like, this is the most.
Is that the one
where the worst?
The last one I listened to was they were talking about some Zoom that happened during COVID.
Yes. It's
all these random people that just popped up in the Zoom.
No, no. Okay. That one was, yeah. No, this one is literally the three of them are playing PS4 games on a podcast, so we can't see what they're doing.
No.
I finally was like, I can't follow this at all.
Yeah.
So, but don't listen to that one. Look, the other ones are fine.
Yeah.
Just don't listen to that one because you won't get hooked at all, and you'll be like, Katie's crazy.
All right, friend.
All right.
Hope the rest of your very busy week goes well.
Yeah. It's Holy Week. It's a marathon, not a sprint. I do tomorrow. I'm very excited. I am going to be the deacon in Cannon Chapel tomorrow at school for Bishop Larry Goodpastor. It's his last service presiding at the table at Cannon Chapel as bishop in residence. And when I tell you I love that man, he reminds me so much of my grandfather. He is a precious angel from heaven. And I am so angry that he's leaving my middle year instead of my last year. I have called him Larry more than once trying to get him to stay, but it didn't work. So Larry's leaving me. I'm sure I will weep many tears, but he is a great human.
The elephant just got home.
The elephant's home. So Godspeed to Bishop Larry Goodpastor. You are adored. Not that he listens to this, but he is adored by everyone who knows him. He's just a great human. So we will send him off tomorrow in a foot washing service where I will not be taking my shoes off. So there we go.
Like, I have to admit, those freak me out a little
I don't
bit.
do that. Yeah. I'll stand back and watch everybody else. They also did, oh my gosh. So they did the Stations of the Cross Tuesday, which was a beautiful thing, but they put me with the flames. I don't know why they thought that it was a good idea to put me with the fire.
How'd it go?
Well, I had to relight some candles because I would blow out the candle that we were using to light the smaller votives and it would blow them all out. So I had to like go back. But it was special. It was a special day. So this is a great week. I hope you're taking full advantage of all the things holy.
I got to go to book club with Carla last night, so that was pretty holy.
That was pretty holy. Look at that. I love that.
She said a nice little prayer over our friend Cindy.
Oh.
Gigi and I stood there and cried because we missed her. We were crying so much.
I love
and
that.
we love our friend Cindy.
Love it. Love it.
Anyway, all right. Well, everybody have a great week.
Have a great week, Brooker and Birch. We haven't
Thanks
said Birch's
for
name.
listening.
We love y'all.